Hello, welcome to another episode of the Pacers Pod. The last time I was on here, it was March 12th, so almost a month ago. In this time, the Pacers have gone 9-5, and they are 7-3 over their last 10 games, which is hot enough for second currently in the Eastern Conference behind Boston Celtics, who are like 8-2 over their past 10. And then we got our Pacers at 7-3. And then there's a few teams at like 6-4. But yeah, it's been, I think the Pacers are playing their best basketball. It's right up there with how they were playing in the beginning of the season, the tournament run. It's a different brand of basketball. We're not, I mean, we have put up 145 recently, but, you know, we're not scoring 130 plus a night, but it's not like our scoring's dropped that much. But it's just, it's we're starting to find our, we're starting to find our groove with Siakam, and Halliburton's been playing better lately. And the team's just, you know, Mathurin went down, and I'm curious to know, I wonder how, you know, I wonder what game, like what our record has been since Mathurin went down. But so anyways, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, there have been times since Mathurin has been out that I've thought about, oh man, it'd be nice to have him in the game right now. But the bench has been so good without Mathurin, especially recently, that, you know, for this team to be a title contending team, I believe that we need to have, you know, like it's going to need to hurt if Mathurin's missing in the playoffs. I just think, and I've said this in the last episode, but it's just like at this point in time, he's not at the level of a player that we eventually need him to be, but where he's at right now, our team is fine without him, or at least maybe, and that's the thing, potentially it's better right now. And I'm not sure why. Like, I would certainly rather have Mathurin, I believe, but it is interesting. The bench has really been clicking along, but we've had a strong bench all year. So it's not like the bench wasn't strong without Mathurin. So I don't, man, it's just one of those things. Recently, I've just been getting kind of cold feet with Mathurin. I don't know. I still hold out a lot of hope, but man, it's just been disappointing not seeing him out there recently and enjoying the Pacers without him, you know, because man, the team has been, they've been winning games. Like recently they've had some big wins. They beat the Thunder twice. They beat the Lakers. They beat the Warriors, the Clippers. And then just this most recent game yesterday, Sunday, April 7th, they beat the Miami Heat and that was a huge game for playoff implications and everything. And then in that same span, we've had 5 losses. So like 9-5 since the last time I did a podcast. And those 5 losses, 2 of them came to the Bulls. One was at Brooklyn. One was a home game against the Cavs, which the Cavs had, you know, no Garland, no Mobley. And the Pacers had that game, and then they just kind of coughed it up at the end. And then a game in LA against the Lakers, where it was 145-150, and the Pacers just got outgunned. But so those were the 5 losses. So the Lakers one is, you know, perfectly reasonable. And you know, it's one of those things where they lost to some teams that are like, it seems like the teams that they beat were better than the teams that they lost to. And I think that's certainly true for all these teams, except for the Lakers. But that's kind of weird. It is a weird thing. But I guess if you had to pick, you'd rather have the wins against the playoff teams, you know? At least it shows that you can beat the good teams. So I don't know what it means, though, to be losing to these teams that... It's weird to lose the games that we should win. At least of recent. So I don't know. We'll just have to see. But overall, the vibes, this feels really good. I think the team's starting to get their groove. They're really confident. They're really locked in. The whole team seems to be on the same page. They seem to be vibing really strong. It's a good feeling right now, going in towards the close of this regular season and into the postseason. So the Pacers are sitting sixth right now in the Eastern Conference, a game and a half above, one game above the Heat, which we do now. We own the tiebreaker, so, you know, we've got a little bit more separation than that. And then we're only, at this point, 1.5 games behind third. So there's a big group of teams. It's essentially the Cavs, the Knicks, the Magic, and the Pacers. Three through six are super close. It's just a big mashup. The Celtics are 15 games above the second place team in the East, just completely dominating the conference in the regular season. The Bucks are sitting at number two, but they are, what was I looking at? Oh, they were 3-7 lately, so they're certainly not playing their best basketball. Obviously still a super dangerous team with Giannis and Dame, and the experience that team has. I wouldn't be excited to see the Pacers play them. I'd rather us play, the Magic or the Knicks. But the thing about those two teams, it's like talent-wise, those are the teams that I feel like the Pacers are better than. But the play style of the Knicks and the Magic are just, their calling card is their defense. And it is frustrating to lose to teams when you don't get anything going offensively, and then all of a sudden, it's like almost like the Pacers are more fun to watch when they're matched up against a team that's going to get out and go a little bit more. But anyways, I'd still rather play the Magic or the Knicks over the Bucks. But I would love to see the Bucks like in the second round. That'd be pretty cool. So anyways, heading into these playoffs, I was thinking about what my expectations were for the Pacers, going up against these teams in the playoffs. If we were to get matched up against the Celtics, that's a matchup where I would feel like I want to see some competitive games, some games that go down to the last, 2 minutes, and it's anybody's game. And I would hope that some of those games turned into wins. But the Celtics are, they're primed right now. They're in a position to dominate. And if we come in there, if we're matched up against Boston, and we put up a good fight, but it doesn't result in any wins, I could see that being me still being good with the season and, good with what we got going on here with our players. I wouldn't want to get skunked 4-0. I wouldn't mind if we don't win a game. I just mean that the games in themselves need to be somewhat, we need to be in those games. We need to show that we can do things in the playoffs. But I don't know. Hopefully we don't end up playing the Celtics. Unless it was in the finals, in the Eastern Conference finals, that would be fine. But other teams, Bucks, 76ers now that Embiid's back. And, I still think Cleveland, when healthy, when they have Garland and Mitchell and Mobley and Allen, that's a lot of talent. So I kind of put those three teams in the same bucket as I'd say they definitely have more talent than the Pacers at this point. But I would not want to see us get swept by any one of those teams. Those teams are vulnerable. On the low end of my expectations would be us, winning a game or two against one of those teams. And I would, as a fan, I would also be interested in us being able to beat those teams. Obviously, we're even ahead of the 76ers in the standings now, but if we were to match up against them, But I just think the top end talent on those teams makes it like, all right, expectations, don't get swept. Knicks, Heat, I'd be expecting a super competitive series. One where it goes 6 or 7 and hopefully the Pacers win. And then if we end up playing, and this would be like in the play-in or the playoffs, you know, if we're matched up against the Magic, the Bulls, or the Hawks, my expectations are that we win that series. I'd be disappointed if we lose that series or the or a game against the Bulls or the Hawks. So I don't know. That's just where I'm at initially going into this thing. Up next, we got 3 games left at Toronto, at Cleveland, and then on Sunday, we have a home game against the Atlanta Hawks for the last game of the regular season, which I will be in attendance for, which I am I'm excited to get down. I haven't been to a game since opening weekend, I believe. I think that's true. I went to 2 of the first 3 games of the season. They had like a Friday, Saturday home, and I haven't been back for the whole year, but I'm going to catch the last home game, so I'm excited to do that. And it's against the Hawks, and I, you know, that feels like a win. That feels like a win. This game tomorrow night at Toronto feels like a win. We got a game at Cleveland, sandwiched in between those. That's going to be a tough one. But I think, you know, looking at these last 3 games, Pacers should go 2-1 comfortably and hold on to that 6th spot, potentially move up. But if they go 2-1, even if the Heat go 3-0, or I don't know how many games the Heat have left. Maybe they do have 4. But it feels like if we go 2-1, we should be able to at least maintain that 6th spot, if not climb up even a little bit. But maybe we get all 3 of them, and we guarantee the fact that we are at least going to be in the 6. If we don't, we're not going to be in the play-in. That's what I hope this Pacers team does. And we just go into this playoffs hot. And what is it, their record? They're 45 and 34 right now. So 11 games above 500. You know, it's like, okay, so we've already hit 45 wins this season. Last season we had 35. The previous season we had 25. So we are just, you know, we're in a good spot. This has been a fast rebuild to a competitive playoffs team. I mean, the Pacers are in this thing. They are. I think it's just the Celtics that are clear. It'd be like if the Pacers beat the Celtics, that would be a big upset. But if the Pacers beat any other team in the East, I don't think it's that big of an upset. So we'll see. There's a chance that they end up in like the 3rd spot. Maybe their home court advantage in the first round. I mean, that would just be, as long as we end up 6th or higher, I mean, we're going to play either Cleveland, New York, Orlando. It feels like that's what we're going to end up playing, one of those teams. So those are the teams that I feel like we, you know, it's not Boston. I don't see us dropping to 8th. That's why we got to avoid that play-in. So anyways, that's kind of where we are right now, just logistically. But I've got a question. What I want to talk about is just kind of like some questions for the rest of the season. So these last 3 games and however long our playoff run is. What are we thinking about for these next, you know, we got 3 games for sure. 10, 15, 20 games. If we win a couple series, we get up in the 20s. And this is hopefully not a huge jinx on the Pacers, obviously, talking about this as if it were already in existence. There's certainly a chance we'd lose some games, fall into the play-in, lose some games, and then we're not even in the playoffs. And all of this is completely irrelevant. However, I am operating under the assumption that we are going to be in a playoff series. And my biggest question is, what does Tyrese Haliburton look like in his first playoff series? Just turned 24, leading the league in assists. Borderline, if not on all NBA teams. You know, never been to the playoffs though. So this is him in his playoffs. It feels like it's right on time. He's turned Indiana around. He's proven that he is a dude in the league. Like, for sure, he's a dude. How does it look? How does it look? You know, Haliburton, since the All-Star break and the injury, like, he was struggling. The shot was not there. The joy seemed to have been zapped from the game. And it feels like of lately, it's back. It's getting back. We've had some magical moments lately. And I just want to see what Haliburton is like in the playoffs. What is his play? How much effect does he have on the game? Does he reach some sort of magical level again where he's in the playoffs? He's almost gone to like a Jamal Murray level, or, you know, one of those guys that just Donovan Mitchell does it sometimes, Damian Lillard, some of these guards that just elevate in the playoffs. And does Haliburton take that trajectory and is just magical? All of a sudden, what is the ceiling of this team if he's playing at that level again? And I don't know. So it could be that, and then it could go all the way down to like, hey, the shot, you know, doesn't really find the jump shot in the playoffs. You know, maybe he ends up shooting like 30% from three. You know, let's just say the Pacers go five or six games, seven games even, but he's like, you know, or I mean, I don't know. The point is, there's a spectrum, and I'm really, really curious to see how Haliburton performs in his first playoffs. Like, what, and really, it's like everything. Like, seeing him with the pressure. How is he interacting with his teammates? What is his leadership ability or like level in the playoffs, like vocally? Or, I mean, I'm interested too to see like how that plays with Siakam, how those two kind of coexist, or you know, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe you don't need to just have like one alpha, this is what we're going to do, we're going to charge this hill and everyone's going to go left. Like, we don't need, like, maybe it's just like everybody has a voice, or like, you know, not everybody, obviously. If it was like game seven and Kendall Brown, like, hey, let's run this play, everyone would be like, no, obviously. There's certain people, though. And so maybe it's like, hey, Haliburton has a voice. Siakam has a voice. Carlisle obviously has a voice. You know, I mean, when it comes down to the very end, it's like game seven, last second shot. Who's in control? What is Tyrese's competitive fire reach? You know, like, does he start getting chippy with guys? Does he start playing like it's life or death? You know, really turning up the intensity on defense, using his length, getting in the passing lanes, using his, you know, his comprehension of the game, taking advantage of a series with his mind, the way that like certain coach, like people always say, like Eric Spoelstra can, you know, like, you, and that's how you can, like, you know, it's a short period of time where you're playing one team. And so it's a game. And can Tyrese use his mind to figure out the game, to find advantages against the opponent to make this team better and to win. Like, it's, you know, that's going to be fascinating to see how he handles that. And I think it's like, I feel pretty confident that he's going to have a strong performance. I don't know. It's interesting. He's been playing better of late. Like, over the past 10 games, his I looked it up, his stats, he's 18 points, 9 assists, 4 rebounds-ish, basically. Just under 2 turnovers a game, 2 steals and a block, essentially. 46% from the field, 40% from 3, 88% from the free throw line. On 8 three-point attempts a game, he's shooting 40% over the past 10 games. So I think it's safe to say, you know, the shot is pretty much back. It doesn't feel like it's as hot as it used to be, but the numbers, you know, last 10 games, 8 attempts, 40%. All right, you take that in the playoffs for sure. We're just seeing with Tyrese, we're seeing a more pep in his step. And I'm also really appreciating the chemistry that's developing between, I feel like Tyrese and Siakam have really started to, just like dap each other up more, like, and just kind of get fired up and compete with each other out on the court, not just like play with each other, but just like, it just feels like the intensity has been there recently. And I think this team is, I think they're locked in. I don't know. It's like Tyrese's numbers aren't jumping off the page, but the team is Siakam's playing great. Turner's been playing great. McConnell's been playing great. Honestly, everybody's playing really good. Those guys are playing great. I mean, yeah, Nesmith and Nembhard and Toppin and Jalen Smith. I mean, it's just like the guys that feel like they're going to be the playoff rotation guys. They all seem like they're, I don't feel like anybody's slumping right now as we're closing the season. It's like, I feel like everybody's on a pretty good, everybody's got positive things going in their game and their role. I think that's true. I don't think there's anybody that's really, that would be like disgruntled. Everyone pretty much knows what they need to do, what their role is. And for the most part, we've been getting the job done. And it's been consistent too. That's the thing. It just feels like we've had some consistent lineups for for multiple weeks at a time. And this team has been playing together for a while now. And it just does. It feels like we're kind of hitting a stride here as we're getting into the playoffs. And obviously Tyrese is going to be, he's number one. He's the franchise guy. He's the max contract. And this is his first playoffs. We're here. We made it. It's so exciting. And I just am so interested to see how Tyrese responds. I just want to watch like everything about the playoffs with him. And like, I was like, I want to hear everything he answers in the post games or pre games, or just like, I'm just fascinated to see, or, you know, to kind of witness what this experience is going to be like. And yeah, I will say, hopefully we can find offensive flow in the playoffs. Like, that's why I am worried about a matchup with the Knicks or with the Magic, where we're trying too much. We're trying to get into things in the half court, and it's, you know, it just feels so stagnant. And then, you know, our defense is kind of getting picked on sometimes or whatever. It's not a great defense, but I do feel like we have been improved enough to the point where we could, you know, we could probably hang in there a little bit better with an Orlando, which we beat at Orlando most recently, even though they thumped us the first 2 games at least. I think the last matchup we had against them was at Orlando, and we won that game pretty well. I don't know. From Tyrese, best effort on defense, outplay the other stars too. The other stars on the other teams, like when we're matched, if we go against the Magic and it's Paolo, I want people to walk away from the series, you know, Haliburton is higher in the food chain than Paolo. And Haliburton is higher on the food chain than Jalen Brunson. Haliburton is higher on the food chain than Donovan Mitchell. Could he do that? You know, these kind of guys. I'm not looking for him to take down Giannis or Tatum or Embiid. But these guys that are in the same arena, let's take them out. Let's take him out. And Tyrese, you know, he's got a sidekick now. He's got a guy that he can ball with. Pascal Siakam. Question number two. How does Pascal Siakam perform in his first playoff as a Pacer? He's been playing fantastically of late. Over Siakam's last 10 games, he's averaging 23 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists on 54% from the field and 40% from the three-point line. The free throws, they're still under 70. The free throws have me a little nervous about playoffs. I feel like, oh no, are we going to lose a game because of Siakam's free throws? I've thought that for a while, actually. I hope that doesn't come true. Okay, so the last time Siakam was in the playoffs was in 2022, and that was after the Raptors had already won the finals. So this was basically just like Siakam's team. Fred VanVleet was there, OG, but it was Siakam's the main guy. They went up against the 76ers in the first round and lost. They got two games on the Philly in that series. And Pascal, I looked at his numbers up in that first round series against Philadelphia in 2022, averaged 23 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and he made 31 of 36 free throws. So he hit his free throws the last time he was in the playoffs. I think that's in the 80s right there, that percentage. But lately, Siakam has just been downright dominant at times. He has been our go-to guy down the stretch when we need a bucket. I forget which game it was. It was the game we lost. Which one was that? Dang it. I forget. It might have been Brooklyn. I don't know. There was a game where he had like 5 or 6 shots in a row at the very end of the game with like a minute to go. And we were just feeding it to him, and he was just cooking he's cooking the guy guarding him. And that's something that's like, okay, Tyrese, you got this is a nice weapon here to utilize and to, you know, unlock and unleash and make dynamic. Like, even like Pascal's going to do it himself. But, like, how can Haliburton play with him and make him better? How do they vibe in the playoffs? What's the chemistry like with Tyrese and Pascal? And here's the thing that's been, it's kind of been a good thing to just kind of realize right now, is with Mathurin, I had hopes that he would be the number two option next to Tyrese Haliburton. And, you know, the play, like, Mathurin has had moments, he has had games, even this past season, where he looked like he could be that guy. His performance was one in which would be an all-star level player. But the consistency hasn't been there. And more times than not, that's not what you're getting. Those things are just blips on the map. They're not he wasn't having, you know, lots and lots of like really strong performances. to the point where you feel like he could be an all-star. But when you look on this team prior to Pascal, I had a hard time imagining anybody else on this team being a number two over Benedict Mathurin. So I think that's why I have held him in such high regard, is just I still have these expectations on him, in which he follows along with Tyrese and you know, becomes an all-star level player. And that's who we're riding with in the future, Tyrese and Ben. Well, just coming to the realization that, okay, Tyrese is 24. He's in the playoffs for this first time. And hopefully we're going to be in the playoffs for the next 10 years straight, not miss a single one. Like, this is just our entry point. And he's got a sidekick. And it's Pascal Siakam. And Siakam's a 30-year-old former NBA champion from the G League to the NBA to most improved player to all-star to all-NBA, NBA champion. Pascal Siakam, 6'8", 7'2" wingspan, like 40% from the three-point line the last 10 games, and he's not a three-point shooter. That's not his strength. I mean, his ability to finish in the paint and around the basket and in the mid-range, he can score everywhere everywhere. He can score anywhere. He's our best number one. Like, he's our best like ISO player. If one person needed to get a shot off in a one-on-one type situation, it's Pascal. So I'm just so excited to see how it's so exciting to know that we have playoff basketball just around the corner. Who else are we counting on in this playoffs? So it's like, all right, Tyrese, you got this. Siakam, you've been there. You've got this. I feel strong about our 1-2. Who else is going to come to play? Myles Turner, 9-year vet, franchise leader in blocks. What do we expect from Myles Turner? What I'm looking for is just for Myles Turner to be solid and reliable. Solid, efficient, no mistakes. We don't need spectacular play, but we need you on the court. No foul trouble, no show games. It's one of those things where, especially I think in the playoffs, the drop-off between Miles and our next big, obviously right now that's Jalen Smith. Jalen's good, and sometimes he feels like he is having a better game than Miles. I just feel like in the playoffs, I want Miles to have it on lockdown. No no-show games. We don't need 20-point performances every night, but we just need you to, you know, be aggressive when you're on. Don't force it when you're off. But focus on rebounding. Focus on the defense, lock down the paint on defense, and like bring toughness to this team alongside. I mean, that's the thing. We need some edge. I think Pascal brings you some edge. Nesmith brings you some edge. Nimhard brings you some edge. So if Miles and Tyrese can turn it up a little bit too, we can really get some good energy going, I think, with this team. I like our team a lot. but yeah, just that's what I want to see from Miles. Is just be there for us, be a veteran. Play a supporting role. in the best way possible. Who else are we counting on? Aaron Nesmith. Aaron Nesmith in the playoffs, what am I expecting from him? As physical as possible without fouling out. I think Nesmith's best value is when he is just in hound mode on the other team's best player. Like this most recent game against the Lakers, I couldn't believe the level of defense that Aaron Nesmith was playing on LeBron James. He held LeBron to 16 points. But Nesmith just, I mean, obviously LeBron's, 39. And they're on a road trip. But Nesmith just wore him down. LeBron didn't want any part of it anymore. Or at times, I should say. He just wouldn't even go get the ball. But it was interesting because there was a point in the game where at the very beginning, the Lakers went up 5-0. And the fourth and fifth points were LeBron James dunk in transition. And when he dunked that ball, it sounded like a high intensity moment and the Pacers made a shot because it was at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. But all the Lakers fans and LeBron fans just went nuts. And I was thinking, oh shit. The next possession down, Aaron Nesmith drives the ball and gets a bucket. And it's like, all right, here we go. So Aaron Nesmith, he's so valuable on defense, and he can be an asset on offense too because of his ability to drive the ball and to shoot the ball. It's just one of those things where he just has to be really careful to pick his spots and to make sure that the shot that he's taking, if he's not already established himself as an offensive weapon tonight, where he's going to be a guy that goes and gets you 16 to 20, I don't want to see Aaron Nesmith going 3 for 12 in a playoff game. It's like, all right, we got other guys that we want to get a better crack at. Now, I know that's really easy to say, and it's, you know, I would be like, if I'm watching the game and Nesmith's turning down shots, even though he's missing them, you can't blame him for shooting open shots. But it's just one of those things where hopefully Nesmith is able to just be efficient and not be somebody that defenses can lay off of and clog things up for everybody else. Like he'll hope. And this is honestly the same thing with Andrew Nembhard, the next guy here. It's just the strengths of these two players on our team in the starting lineup is the defense, the on-ball defense, I think the toughness, and with Nembhard, you get above average playmaking. With Nesmith, you get above average three-point shooting, and Tyrese can be hid on the worst of the smallest three players. So that's that. Anything else with Nesmith? No, that's basically it. With Nembhard, I feel like he needs to be aggressive with that three-point shot. I think sometimes he is a little reluctant to shoot it. He's just taking like a half a second to think about it, and then it's given the defense enough time to close out to the point where it's like, yeah, don't shoot it now because you're not wide open. But it's like if he's out there and he's looking to shoot the three-pointer and he gets some of those passes and he doesn't hesitate that half a second and he just lets it fire, I feel like he's a damn good shooter. It feels like it's just a little bit of hesitancy, and sometimes if he's passed a few of those up and he hasn't done anything else offensively, he'll let one rip anyways. But the defender is just a little bit closer and feels like he misses those more often. I just feel like I've noticed that when Nembhard doesn't pause before shooting, I just feel like he's shooting it at a better clip. And we're going to need him to be able to knock those down. And I think Nimhard's one of those guys that's like, he could really, really earn some respect in the league in this playoffs. It seems like people that watch basketball and understand basketball appreciate Andrew Nimhard for what he does all over the game. You know, because the game's not just siloed off into scoring or block shots or three-point shooting. It's the whole thing. How good are you at everything? And Andrew Nimhard is just like, he's not bad at anything. But I think if he can knock down three-point shots and give you, and the Pacers are doing well, and Nesmith Nimhard is, you know, handling the ball, you know, getting you some assists without too many turnovers, and just basically like playing a nice role on this team, people are going to notice, like, oh, this is a second-year player. This is a second-round draft pick. And he could really see an increase in his value with this playoffs. So I'm excited to see how Nimhard looks and Nesmith. You know, Nesmith, honestly, all these guys, it's such an exciting time. It's also been a while since we've been to the playoffs. So, you know, just, you know how much fun those playoff games are. Just, they're hyped, man. Sixth man, TJ McConnell, heading into playoffs. What am I thinking about TJ? I'm really interested to know or to see how TJ McConnell's minutes are affected. He's, what was it? The last 10 games, he's getting 20 minutes a night. In the playoffs, do those minutes go up, down, or do they stay the same? I would imagine they stay the same. And the reason I'm thinking that is just like, okay, first of all, I'll say this about McConnell. He's been absolutely astonishing lately. Really, his whole career, but recently, he's just, I wonder if it corresponds again with Mathurin going down, but he's just taken the reins of the second unit. And when he comes into the game, I would love to like know if this is actually true, but what I feel is happening, I feel like he's scoring the basketball immediately. Like the first possession, I feel like when McConnell's on the court, he touches that basketball. It's almost like he just goes ahead right away and breaks off his defender right to the paint or right to the baseline and pulls up and knocks down a little 8-foot jump shot. I feel like it happens all the time right away. And you're like, oh, damn, there he is. TJ McConnell's in. Obviously, we know he's in, but this is what he does. He just makes it happen. But over these last 10 games, 20 minutes a night, he's averaging 14 points and 6 assists and over 2 rebounds in 20 minutes. I mean, shooting at 57% from the field. You know, you're getting the effort and the intensity with McConnell. You're getting the showmanship. You're just getting the passion. He just brings a level of passion to your team and to the game that you just wish more guys had. You want it to be that intense. You want it to be that serious. And that's what happens in the playoffs, is people turn it on. Usually, I think for the most part they do. And that makes me wonder, you know, with McConnell, I said I think maybe his minutes will stay the same. As good as TJ is, I don't doubt TJ, but I'm just wondering, in a series, people know what he does and they still don't stop it, but 5, 6, 7 games in a row against the same team, is McConnell going to be able to be as effective in games 5, 6, and 7? And then how does that impact our bench when McConnell doesn't have it going the way that he's been having it going lately? Now, hopefully, you know, it doesn't get to that point. Hopefully, McConnell can maintain this level of play throughout the playoffs. But that's just a little fear that I have, is that it's not able, his game is not able to resonate all the way through a series. I hope I'm wrong on that, for sure. Obi Toppin, another guy that is, you know, I would expect to see play in the playoffs for our team. With Obi, I just think the best case scenario for him is to go into each game determined to not give up any offensive rebounds, but also go get every defensive rebound that he can. I just would love to see Obi Toppin morph into more of a rebounding animal. Kind of like what, what's his name? Like, I know they're completely different players. I'm just in La La Land, but like a Jared Vanderbilt, kind of that rebounding from a power forward position. I'm not expecting Toppin to be the type of rebounder as Vanderbilt is, but like, can Toppin just be focused on rebounding to be the best, absolute best rebounder that he can be? I just think his ability to grab a rebound and either get a quick dish off to a guard or even push it himself a little bit, and then what he brings offensively, if he can do that for us, I just feel like our team performance is going to be much stronger. And Toppin's a guy like McConnell that's just been crushing it off the bench. So that's what we got. I mean, I talked about Hallie, Pascal, Aaron Nesmith, Nimhard, Miles Turner, TJ McConnell, and Obi Toppin now is the seventh man. So he's certainly getting, you know, he's our key, one of our key bench players. But over the past 10 games, he's given us 10 points and 4 rebounds in 18 minutes on 64% from the field, 53% from three, and 87% from the free throw line. 60, 50, 80. That's incredible. Toppin's been hot lately. Can he keep this up into the first round of the playoffs? Can he make those shots when it's, you know, when the intensity's cranked up? And I think this team, I mean, it's like Toppin doesn't have, you know, a long playoff resume, but I'm, you know, he was obviously in the playoffs on teams in the playoffs. I don't know what his individual play was like, but he's got a role here in Indiana. He knows what to expect. He knows he's going to get, you know, 18 to 25 minutes, depending on, you know, how good he's playing and what the matchup is. I think he's ready to go. He's due to get paid this offseason. He was a lottery pick. He's 25 years old. You know, like, Toppin is ready to go. McConnell, ready to go. He's a vet. 30. I mean, I just feel like our team is primed right now. Nimhard, Nesmith, like, these guys are all hungry to make names for themselves. This whole team is. So Obi Toppin, can't wait to see what he does. Jalen, and you know, another thing about all these players, hopefully the Pacers are able to, you know, really show out in the playoffs and reach a higher level than they've played yet and go as far as they can, and where you, as a fan, you feel proud of the way they played. And but you know, there's going to be certain players that shine and certain players that don't, and that's going to have weight on, at least for myself, like how I view these players moving forward. Like, if Toppin is a bust in the playoffs, like, I'm not going to be that excited about re-signing him or bringing him back. Kind of saying, you know, like, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of good things to like. So it's not, if it's a short, if it just all depends. It all depends. But playoffs, it's like, okay, you're judged differently in the playoffs. So I'm excited to see how our starters handle it, and I'm excited to see how our bench handles it. Eighth man in the rotation, Jalen Smith. On my last episode, I kind of went at Jalen Smith. I said I'd rather have Isaiah Jackson. I multiple times have felt like apologizing for that and kind of saying, no, I mean, Jalen Smith's better. Jalen Smith is, he feels really good out there on the court. I think he does have, at this point in time, a higher, how would I put this? Like, the chances of him having a solid game are higher than Isaiah Jackson's. Jalen Smith does things that make you feel really good when he's knocking down a few threes. The best thing for me is when I see Jalen Smith rebound the basketball in traffic or, you know, block a shot. That feels really good. You know, but at the same time, I don't know if I trust him. I mean, of the eight guys that I've listed, I don't know. I hope, but you got to think of, like, all right, how's Nimhard going to handle things? I mean, really, honestly, all this team, I mean, we got a lot of guys that haven't been in the playoffs yet. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But apologies to Jalen Smith. I personally, I would probably rather just, I don't know, man. It's so hard. What's on the tip of my tongue is like, we've got Isaiah Jackson for next year. I'm not sure that either one of those is like the backup center or starting. Like, I'm not sure that either one of those guys are the center that I want to move forward with for the next, you know, lock in the next 3 to 5 years. So I feel like, all right, we gave Jalen Smith a chance this year. We've already got Isaiah Jackson next year. If Jalen Smith has other suitors or he decides to opt out of his contract, we kind of have like Jalen Smith backup insurance right now with Isaiah Jackson. But Jalen Smith's been getting the minutes lately. He's definitely, I feel like he's held on pretty tightly to those minutes. He's had some really nice moments and he's been solid for the most part. He hasn't really given Isaiah Jackson a chance to come take it from him. So I don't know. We'll just have to see. We'll just have to see how it plays out for all these guys. Everybody else, you know, Ben Shepherd, Doug McDermott, Isaiah Jackson, Jairus Walker. My thoughts on them going into the playoffs is like, well, I really do like these guys. I like Shepherd. In a vacuum, I like McDermott. I like Isaiah Jackson. I like Jairus Walker. This team's just so deep. It's like, I don't... Unless we get breakdowns by guys like Toppin and maybe Nesmith or Nimhard or Jalen Smith, where they're just not performing, and you go... Or foul trouble could do this, or an injury. All of a sudden, one of these guys is getting minutes. Give us a spark. That's what I would hope for from these guys, is just give us a spark. We'll just have to see. So that's kind of my outlook on the roster heading into the playoffs. But at the end of this podcast, I just wanted to take a minute, zoom out, and just think about, we have a lot to be thankful for as Pacer fans. I don't think I mentioned, maybe I did mention at the top when I was going through, you know, the Pacers are 9-5 over their last 14 games. And the losses have been against bad teams. And I feel like they've been peppered in at a point where every time you start to feel good about the team, they lose one that you feel like they should win. And it's been a really bumpy roller coaster, even though the roller coaster has been going up. It's just been bumpy and it doesn't feel that comfortable. But when you stop and look at the fact that we've already won 45 games and we've got 3 games left, we've already guaranteed a spot in the play-ins. That was like worst case scenario heading into the season, was we didn't make the play-in. It's like, we got to at least make the play-in. We definitely are making the play-in. That's worst case scenario. Best case scenario, we make the playoffs. What that does is that proves we are not a team that's rebuilding anymore. We are not the Detroit Pistons. We're not the Utah Jazz. We're not the Portland Trailblazers or the Charlotte Hornets, or, you know, we are in the playoffs. We were rebuilding and now we are here. That's a nice step to be able to look back on this year and to be able to have accomplished. That's a nice step up. We were able to bring in another all-star, potentially all-NBA player in Pascal Siakam via trade. Check. Like that, that's one of those moves. It's almost as big as the Halliburton. It's not, because you don't make the Siakam trade without already having made the Halliburton trade and being ready to go get a guy like Siakam. But man, Halliburton, young guy, got his whole, he's getting locked in. The early part of his career is over. He's getting into the prime of his career. He's ready to go, and paired right next to him is Pascal Siakam, a guy who's got another final run in him. He's got, you know, he's sitting at 30 years old. He's on the back end of his prime. You know, the prime's not over. It's just the prime is starting to reach different levels, but his game's going to continue to evolve as well as Tyrese's. So bringing in that second star, as we look at this from like a bird's eye view, it's huge. What a move. So thankful for that. Another thing is just the youth movement improvement. All the young guys that we have on this team, Tyrese Halliburton, Aaron Nesmith, Andrew Nembhard, Jalen Smith, Isaiah Jackson, Ben Shepherd, you got to be feeling good about all these guys. It feels like we're all moving in the right direction. It doesn't feel good about where those guys are compared to like established starters in the NBA right now, heading into the playoffs. Like, like a guy like Josh Hart versus an Andrew Nembhard. Like, who would you rather have in the playoffs? They're not the same player, but the point I'm making is like, these guys aren't all the way established yet, but they made improvement this year. Our young guys have, and we still have these two super high upside players with Benedict Mathurin and Jairus Walker, where it doesn't seem to be like, for whatever reason, part of the equation right now. Obviously, with Mathurin, it was the injury, and with Jairus, it's just a matter of the way the team's playing. But you got to be excited about the upside of Jairus Walker, and Benedict Mathurin is a guy who has given us a lot to be excited about still. He's still young. Still a ton of potential with Mathurin. So we still have these two young guys that aren't currently in what we're doing, but could potentially, hopefully, be what we're doing moving forward in next year's playoffs. I think looking at the rest of the season, I think the pressure is on until we get to the playoff series. And then at that point, we're kind of playing with house money. I don't think there's a ton of pressure, especially like nationally, for the Pacers to, you know, win a first round series. I think if anything, it's probably the fan base that's going to set higher expectations on the team than the, you know, than like ESPN's going to. They're going to probably be the underdog. I mean, what matchup would they not be the underdog in? Probably, I mean, maybe the Magic, but I think that, I don't know. That'd be interesting. Because I feel like if the 76ers and the Heat are 7-8, even if at some point the Pacers bump up against those two teams, which would obviously be in the next rounds, they would be behind them. Like, I think people would say that the Pacers would be underdogs against those teams. But not to us. Not to us who understand this team, understand the potential. Yeah. We're here. It's a very, very happy time. It's a very happy time. So thank God for good Pacers basketball, good Pacers energy, and let's enjoy the playoffs. Appreciate you for checking out the podcast. And let's go Pacers, you know. Peace and love, everybody.